Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob Cordaro Show podcast, WILK News Radio.
Great, good morning, everyone. My Bicardo's Jeweler Watch tells me it's 10:11 and change here in the great Northeast, this beautiful Monday, November 3rd, 2025. This is the Bob Cordaro Show. I am he, and it's a big day to fight for America, defend our values, and with the help of our friend, our man, John Basiliga, and his great Eastern Roofing Systems, to honor the brave who have made us and kept us free. People like veterans we've lost this year, but celebrate today thanks to John. Like William Eckrode of Wanamie, Pat Colerso, Old Forge, formerly of West Scranton, and Tom Beater of Danville. So with history, our great founding fathers, and the incomparable Constitution of the United States of America as our guides, let us continue today's battle. Gaveling back to order this meeting of the Club for Common Sense, letting you know that because of our commitment to common sense, we will provide a sanctuary of sanity for all of you when the leadership of an entire political party, the Democrats, has gone insane. The establishment, the globalists, they've all gone insane. And they've got your detriment in mind. Yep. So, Mother Teresa, Saint Teresa for November 3rd. She says, if I had to start all over again, I would do the same thing. I have experienced many human weaknesses, many human frailties, and I still experience them. Well, Mother Teresa, you were superhuman, and that's why you're one of our most beloved saints. You took care of the poor and the people who needed it the most, and without any thought to your own comfort and to yourself. Amazing, amazing woman. Well, it's Monday. Now, we don't always do it, but we try to always do it, and that is to talk to John Perillo in something we call Monday Musings. And here he is, our man, John Perillo. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing, Bob? I'm glad you know what time it is. I'm all confused. So.
Well, you got to come to Scranton, Jefferson Avenue and Spruce Street, and you go to Bicardo's and get yourself a great Bicardo watch.
You got it. We'll get that set up when we get out there and our next chance. So, hey, last week Bob mentioned that it was the 50th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act. And as usual, there's a bunch of misinformation out there about the status of redistricting. And there's a current Supreme Court case that we discussed a couple of weeks ago called Louisiana versus Calais. And the case is about the allegation that the change of voting districts in Louisiana intentionally disenfranchised black voters in violation of the Voting Rights Act. And we discussed back a couple of weeks ago that it's absolutely legal for states to gerrymander for political reasons, but not for racial reasons. And the reason why I wanted to talk about that today is that part of the reason for all the flurry of activity in the White House is that they know that if the Democrats gain a majority in the House, Trump becomes a lame duck immediately for the next 2 years. And beyond that, he'll likely be impeached, even if the Senate wouldn't vote to convict him. And that isn't me saying what should happen. That's me telling you what will happen if the Democrats gain control of the House. So these gerrymandering issues are getting a lot of attention regardless of where you live. This isn't just the Louisiana issue, right? So the case before the Supreme Court, there was an interesting exchange that got some attention. I mean, if you're a court watcher dork like I am, and I wanted to dig into that exchange just a little bit. And it comes from Justice Ketanji Jackson. and she used the Americans with Disabilities Act as a comparison. and there was a lot of pundits.
She's
that got
insane.
Really excited.
Now, I well, thought, by the way, I thought she couldn't say anything dumber than her failure to answer what is a woman in her her hearing.
Okay.
And then she topped herself here. But go ahead.
Let's dig into that. Let's dig into that a little bit. So there was a lot of, as Bob's saying, a lot of people talking about that she was comparing blacks in Louisiana to disabled people, but she didn't really do that. She was making a legal argument that I think was wrong, but it's still an important point. Let's hear from Justice Jackson herself. She says, quote, "So going back to this discriminatory intent point, I guess I'm thinking of it of the fact that remedial action absent discrimination intent, discriminatory intent is really not a new idea in civil rights law." And then she goes on to say that it is, quote, "something like the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act. Congress passes the Americans with Disabilities Act against the backdrop of a world that was generally not accessible to people with disabilities, so it was discriminatory in effect. And it didn't matter whether the person who built the building or the person who owned the building intended for them to be exclusionary. That's irrelevant." So that's Justice Jackson. So she's making a comparison here. And once we get past the headline that Justice Jackson compared blacks to disabled people, which she really didn't do here, that doesn't mean that we can ignore the argument. So let's take a look at her legal analogy for a bit. Right? There are really three issues that are at stake in this Calais case, which I'm telling you is very important for the makeup of the House right now. The first is, does Congress even have the authority to order a state to redraw districts at all? Right, the Constitution gives states the authority to run elections completely, except that in Section 2 of the 15th Amendment, which is the amendment that gave blacks voting rights, there is a, quote, "remedial power of Congress," which is kind of a catch-all that says, quote, "the Congress shall have the power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation," end quote. So that can be read in a way that allows a lot of federal intervention in elections, as long as it does so to make sure that black voters aren't disenfranchised. That's kind of the purpose of the 15th Amendment. Now, that got clarified in another case called the City of Bourne versus Flores, which is typically just called Flores, and that was in 1997. And that said that the federal role in voting and the, quote, "remedial powers," end quote, that we were just talking about, are limited only to the passing of laws that affect voting and only if those laws affect voting violation of the 15th Amendment. So Congress can't use the fact that the 15th Amendment exists to give blacks the right to vote to and their, quote, "remedial powers" to just willy-nilly change state voting laws, right? Their actions, Congress's actions, have to be used to remedy an issue that's covered by the 15th Amendment. So that's kind of point one, right? And Flores says that Congress can't just create laws, for instance, that, quote, "will make it harder in some general sense to deny blacks the right to vote," end quote. It has to do, the laws that Congress passes have to be there to, quote, "this law punishes or fixes an actual denial of the right to vote," end quote. And that's really important. So what the Supreme Court did in Flores was to say that all federal laws that want to use the 15th Amendment as a reason for existing have to remedy some specific block to minority voting. And for the cases before the Supreme Court today, Calais, that means that a change in district in gerrymandering can only be mandated by Congress if it remedies a past actually caused the limitation of the rights of blacks to vote. Again, most of the news is they are ignoring that very, very important point. And that is why the court is debating whether race-based districts were intentionally designed to limit black voting or not. And as we discussed last time, if the reason for the gerrymandering is politics, not race, then the 15th Amendment doesn't apply, and neither do the remedies for the 15th Amendment. Right? The second question, the next question, is whether the power that Congress has to remedy voting rights past discrimination is limited. And that was the reason why the Supreme Court just said that race discrimination in college admissions had gone on too long. And the court in that case didn't say that Congress couldn't allow preferences for minority students, but instead what the court said was that the reason for that past legal discrimination against Asian and white students was no longer a factor. It was not, of course, as the press reported, some right-wing court moving to allow discrimination, but it was rather a very clear reading of the plain language of the 14th Amendment, right? And in a different case, as recently as 2023, Justice Kavanaugh said that the plaintiff had established that race was a factor in drawing that district. And by the way, he's certainly no right-wing nut, as he's been portrayed, But he asked at the time of that ruling how long that could be the case. And he hinted back in 2023 that you couldn't use that reason forever. And that question is the very reason why this gerrymandering case is in the courts today. And the last analogy, and the one I wanted to get to, is the one that Ms. Jackson was referring to in the question of unintentional creation of race-based districts. And Jackson notes that in the Voting Rights Act does not order the creation of majority-minority districts, even though you'll hear that said all the time on the news. Even Justice Jackson says, no, that's not what it says. She gets that part absolutely correct. The amendment doesn't mention district lines at all. All it does is create a series of tests to see if a state's system discriminates. But that 1982 amendment is very clear as well that there is no, quote, intentionality test. The racial gerrymandering could be unintentional, and that's what Justice Jackson was trying to address in her question comparing the voting to the Americans with Disabilities Act, meaning that the builder of the building without the ramp didn't intentionally discriminate against the person who can't walk up the stairs, but the effect was discriminatory. So her question wasn't entirely unreasonable. But that said, her analogy
was awful.
It was wrong for a different reason, yeah. Right? It's wrong because the ADA gets its power from the Commerce Clause. And basically, Congress said in the ADA that not having a ramp affects interstate commerce. Now, personally, I think that argument's absurd. But the difference between the ADA and the Voting Rights Act is that the ADA, whatever you think of its constitutionality, provides very clear guidance on what it expects. I'll give you an example from the ADA. Quote, it shall be considered discrimination for a private entity which operates a fixed route system and which is not subject to Section 12.184 of this title to purchase or lease a vehicle with a seating capacity in excess of 16 seats, including the driver, for use on such a system that's not readily accessible for use by individuals with disabilities, including individuals who use a wheelchair, right? That's the ADA, right? Very specific, right? There's no judicial finding necessary to enforce that. You're either in compliance with access or you're not. Whereas the question on Calais rests with the 14th and 15th Amendments, which are clear that there has to be both a violation of black voting rights and, even if it's not intentional, no other reason for that violation exists, like politics. So unlike the ADA, there's a bunch of ambiguity there. And it's possible that, as Kavanaugh says, as he said in 2023, that we're not there yet and that there's still clear racial discrimination in the district can't be attributed to some political decision. And we likely won't find that out until the spring, by the way. And look, I know this sounds arcane, but laws have meanings. And it's one of the things Bob and I keep talking about, right? And a lot of the reporting on what you hear in the courts is really abysmal. Right. Yes, justices make mistakes. Yes, they bring biases. You know, it's extraordinarily, different for a human not to bring their own biases. Right. But while I disagree with Justice Jackson, her question wasn't quite as absurd as some have said it was. And it's an important question. I just think she's wrong. And again, it's important for us today because whatever happens in this case is likely going to affect, the makeup of Congress going forward. So I hope that was helpful to clarify that. And I know there's a lot of other stuff going on. But sometimes we have to dig down a little bit into the law and figure out how it affects it.
And we'll find out what happens in California because they're determining whether they're going to blow up their redistricting system in order to put more Democrats in. It'll be fascinating because that's going to wind its way through the courts if it passes. John Perillo, thank you, my man. We appreciate it.
You got it.
All right. We'll talk to you next Monday.
You got it.
All right.
Take care, Bob, and to your listeners, have a great week, and thank you again for your time.
All right. We'll take a break. Bob Cadaro, WILK. We'll be back. Elvis Murph tells us his date, 1962. He moved from number 20 to number 10 with his hit, Return to Sender. Bob Cadaro back with you on the eponymous program. Let's go right to the phones. Joe from Berwick, you've been patient. Hi, Joe.
Hello, Bob. Thanks for having me on. So here's the reason why I called, Bob, because I'm very passionate as well. I would say very upset about some things I'm reading. Now, I'm not going to ascribe to people certain things I see on Facebook because anybody can post anything on Facebook. But you and I both know that what the Democrat Party and their followers have been spouting for years and are spouting now is the nonsense of such things as, you know, Trump's ballroom and he's dancing away great Gatsby party style while people are starving off food stamps and stuff. And I want to address this specifically because this is again goes to the heart of what we're voting for and who these people are and what they believe. I specifically am helping out a family that is really being affected right now by this whole food stamp thing. Now, I say I, not because I'm tooting my own horn, but because technically it's through my church, but since this young man was in my youth group since the age of 6 and he's now 18, that, you know, it's me, okay? The church hands it off to me because I know the circumstance. So I'm personally involved in getting these people what they need just to have something to eat because, mostly when people don't like to hear this, it's mostly because of his mother and all the opportunities she's had through any help she's gotten through most of her life and how she handles resources that she gets, which is very poorly. And there's a great fear that that's what this young man is learning. And we don't want to see him fall into that kind of lifestyle because, you know, like I talk to him all the time. I say, do you want to live like this or do you want to do better? Well, again, when I hear these stupid comments that, you know, people are saying about how, you know, Trump's ballroom or because there are millionaires who have, you know, all this money in the bank. Why don't you do something about these starving kids? Well, I'm saying this as somebody who's doing something about one of these hungry kids. This is nonsense. You don't know what you're talking about. And this is what they do all the time. They bring in these pithy little sayings and this absurd reasoning that one thing has nothing to do with another, and they really don't deal with the issue at hand. But they always set up these straw man arguments, yep. And there's always some rich man who's responsible for everybody being poor, and it's just absurd. And I'm challenging it because it's nonsense, and I have a right to challenge it because I'm directly involved in it.
All right. Well, thank you always, Joe. We appreciate it. Keep fighting. Keep helping people. I mean, see, the government is not supposed to help people. We are. Period. So thank you for doing that. Joe, we got to go. We're way over, okay. Man. But thank you so much. We'll take a break. Bob Cadaro, WILK. We will return.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Our veterans tribute this hour, as with every hour, this day as with every day, brought to you by our friend John Basiliga, featuring today just one of his great companies, his first, Eastern Roofing Systems, the premier industrial, commercial, and institutional roofer in the Eastern United States. And guess what? They bring all that expertise to bear on your home, your small building here in Northeast Pennsylvania, because they're headquartered right here in Jessup. Orazio Pat Pasquale Colerso. He was 84 when he passed away October 22nd. He was from Old Forge, formerly of West Scranton. He and his wife, Charlotte, celebrated their 57th wedding anniversary this past May. He was born in Scranton, a graduate of West Scranton High School, class of 1959. He was a proud veteran of the Army, serving us in Vietnam.
Pat was of the Roman Catholic faith, and his life was characterized by his faith and unabated love for his family, which he adored and generously shared his joy for living. He worked for 26 years as a produce manager for Giant Foods, and then with his wife, he started their own business in West Scranton, the Deli on Luzerne, for 38 years. He retired from that business in 2020 at the end of the year. Pat will always be remembered as a devoted husband, father, grandfather, a kind man with a quick wit and a smiling sense of humor. In addition to his wife, Charlotte, he leaves behind loving children and their spouses, four grandchildren, and many other family members. Orazio Pat Pasquale Colerso, our veteran this hour, brought to you by John Basiliga and Eastern Roofing Systems. Storm Tracker 16 forecast from meteorologist Joe Snedeker. Today, partly sunny with a chance of a late-day shower. It'll get to about 60, 55 outside the studios as I speak. Tonight, partly cloudy, 42. Tuesday, partly sunny and breezy, 57. Wednesday, morning sun, then cloudy with a chance of scattered showers, but it'll get up to 60. So a good start to November. Yesterday was gorgeous out. It really was. Now, we heard the commercial from Tom Mosca, who's running for judge in Luzerne County. And here he is, the actual Tom Mosca, not on tape. He's live. How are you, Tom?
I am live, and I'm doing well. Thanks, Bob. Thanks for having me on.
Good. What's your final note and message to the voters of Luzerne County as you run for judge?
Well, we've been out knocking on doors for everywhere from Pittston to Hazleton and every other place in between that I could get to. Luzerne County is a big place.
Yes.
I'll just sum up by saying I've been practicing law for 35 years in and out of the courtroom. I've been given an AV preeminent rating by the Martindale Hubbell Rating Service. That's the gold standard for rating lawyers, and that's their highest possible rating for both legal ability and ethical standards. I've got a solid legal background, which is important, of course, but that's not enough. I think to be an effective judge, you also have to have relevant life experience. And I have a proven track record of service to the community, both as a community volunteer and a volunteer of my church. I've held numerous leadership positions. I've been an advocate for victims' rights. I'm the chair of the Victims Resource Center. And for the past 9 years, I've been the co-chair of the NEPA Task Force Against Human Trafficking. So I've spent the time and I've given of myself to my community. And last but not least, especially since this is going to be at least in part a family law position, my family is important. My wife, Andrea, and I have been married for the past 37 years. We raised our two daughters, Hillary and Tori, here in Luzerne County. We have two grandchildren, Sebastian and Vivian. That's all important. To be able to rule appropriately on matters that come before the family court, it's certainly helpful to have relevant experience in having raised children and raised a family. And last but not least, again, I want to remind Republicans that we have a majority of about 7,000 voters at this point, but if people don't get out and vote, that's not going to mean anything. We need people to get out and vote tomorrow. Call your relatives, your neighbors, your friends. If they need a ride to the polls, give them a ride. Everybody needs to get out and vote. If they get out and vote, we will do well.
Well, thank you, Tom Mosca. Best wishes. Stay safe and strong on the campaign trail, my friend.
Thank you, Bob. Take
care.
All right.
Thank you. Hey, we've got John Cordura from, and not Cordaro, they spell it differently, south of the border in Luzerne County.
Good morning, Bob.
But I think we're paisans and cousins anyway, John.
I think we might be somewhere down the line.
Yes,
but
yes.
I think we both have a little energy that trickled out from Rush Limbaugh when he went to heaven. I think he left a little bit of that common sense behind for us to use.
Yeah, he certainly gave us a lot to think about, right?
Listen, Bob, I'm going to be brief, but I'm John Cordura. I'm running for mayor in Luzerne. And you know what? I'm telling people, it's not so much a Republican-Democrat thing. It's a common sense versus stupidity. I mean, in the primary, I got almost 70 write-in votes from Democrats that came from the other side because they liked what was in the letter. I went to 1,000 houses in Luzerne Borough, and I'm proud to say in this time when there's the United States Congress is getting a paycheck while the government shut down, I'm voluntarily going to donate 100% of my mayor's salary to the Luzerne Police Department if I'm elected. And I'm retired on a Social Security income. I'm not rich, but I got to tell you something. Somebody's got to give back. Everybody's nice. Taking and going to jail and stealing. And you know something? Somebody's got to, I'm not showing off. It's a gesture. But the main reason I'm running is because we have some deficiencies in Luzerne. There's a lot of problems with speeding. We have a situation where there's a backroom cooperation deal between Courtdale and Luzerne. And I'm not against cooperation with police departments, but they never put it in writing. They did a deal, like a handshake deal. And I said, why don't you put the specs in, on the table? I mean, it's going to affect the insurance riders between these two towns if we have an incident. And I'm all for cooperation between police departments. But let's put something on the table where it's in writing and it's in a formal agreement. I mean, you can't do that. And you know what? We have a situation where people hardly go to the council meetings because when they go, the Luzerne Borough Council will say, well, we'll look into it. Then they kick it down, they table it down the road. It never gets done. And if I am elected mayor of Luzerne, I want something that no other mayor is doing in Luzerne County. Besides the council meetings, I want one night that's just going to be a mayor's night that only pertains to police issues and crime. People, you got to get these people interested. You got a good person like Tom Mosca running for judge. This man is highly qualified. You got Walter Griffith. And if we don't get out to vote tomorrow, I don't want anybody to complain about anything because you have an opportunity to be there. If our troops could show up to protect our country, we should damn well show up to vote tomorrow. That's the least we can do.
Amen. John Cordaro running for mayor of Luzerne. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate
Thank you.
It. Good luck to you. Yeah. All right. Let's go to Tony Amico. He's running for mayor of Troop. How are you, Tony?
Good morning, Bob. Thank you for taking my call. Looking forward for tomorrow.
And you actually have the candidate you defeated running a write-in against you.
Yes, crazy.
Yes, so it's a campaign. It matters if people come out and vote.
I've showed the man respect throughout, and I continue to do so. And if he's so wishes to run as a write-in campaign, that's his business. I'm fine with it. I'm just looking forward to getting on with tomorrow and hopefully a victory and become the next mayor of Troop Borough.
Well, Tony, in these races, because I'm talking to statewide candidates, too, and I'm like, what do you even do on the last day of an election? But for you, because these races can be determined by one or two votes, you got to keep campaigning.
Yes,
you have to keep campaigning.
Yeah, I went out on the walk over the weekend and met up with some wonderful individuals throughout the borough. I didn't run into any negativity where my campaign is concerned, and so that was a good feeling.
Good.
And come tomorrow, I'll continue from there. I want to be a strong representative of the borough. I want to be a respectable liaison between the police department and council. And I have quite a few ideas for the borough once I'm in that position. Looking forward to it.
Well, excited. My old hometown, Troop, we need Tony Amico as mayor. Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
My friend. Hey, we got to take a break. Bob Cadaro, WILK. We will return.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Murph tells us the Stones, they had the number two hit this date, 1973, with Angie. Bob Cadaro back with you on the eponymous program. And we were bragging about our incumbent controller, Walter Griffith, earlier in the program, and here he is. He's running for re-election. How are you, Walter?
I'm good, Bob. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Great to be on the show. You have a fabulous show in the morning. I enjoy it very much.
Thank you.
Just wanted to call in. You're welcome. I just wanted to call in and say how important the re-election to the county controller's office is for my position, in that, you know, in the past 3.5 years, I was able to get all the tax collectors audited, which has never been done in the county. And we found a couple of them along the way that were having some issues. We found one that particularly that was brought up on federal charges, as you recognize in the paper a couple of months ago. And that was part and parcel of the information that I shared with the law enforcement agency. So the job of the controller's office is critical in our area, in our control, in our county, because we have no other elected official in our county other than the county council. And there is nobody who can share information with those county council members independently than the controller, because everybody else works for the manager, and the manager is hired by the county council. So it's really important that we have a controller that works hand in hand with the administration and the council, without being and also maintaining independence. So there's no favoritism played. So when I see, as you know, when I see things that are a little bit off the radar, I always bring it up. I think it's very important for the people. So I represent three things. I represent the people mostly, but I also represent the manager, and I also represent the county council. So the county controller's office is very, very, very important to maintain independence and the institutional knowledge that I bring as well. So I think that's why I need to get another term. I have a lot more work to do. We have more audits that need to be done. Basically, the controller's office is an auditing agency. We don't have the power of the accounts payables anymore, and we don't have the power that we used to have in state county code. But we do have the power to have unrestricted access to everything in the county, which is really good for the people. So if I don't get elected, the people may not have the transparency that they deserve in Luzerne County, and that's really, really important, especially with our type of government where the manager is hired by the council. So it's very important that I be retained and reelected this year.
Well, Walter Griffith, we love you. We wish you best luck and keep campaigning right to the end, all right?
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate the opportunity to speak.
Always a pleasure. Thank you. Walter Griffith, our candidate for controller. And let's go, without further ado, to Clive from Mountaintop. Clive, we got about a minute, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. I'm not running for office. I had my day in the sun. I was tax collector one term and township supervisor one term. But if Walter Griffith doesn't win and the Democrats take control of county council, we're in big, big trouble in this county.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens. I don't have a lot of faith in the electorate, but we'll see what happens. But anyhow, wanted to talk quickly about the SNAP program. I had no idea that 1 in 8 Americans was on food stamps receiving SNAP benefits. And as a taxpayer, I have a real problem with that. And the reason I do, I've seen the abuses, especially at these small Unimart, Minimart places, small grocery stores, mostly run by foreign nationals, where people use the food stamps to buy beer, cigarettes, wine, and scratch-offs. And apparently there's no enforcement to it. And besides, I don't think the Founding Fathers had this in mind, that the government was going to give people money to buy food. It smacks of socialism for me, and it's a real mess. And I really can't wrap my head around all the polling that blames the Republicans for this shutdown. I just can't comprehend.
That is astonishing.
It.
You're right.
It is.
It is so obvious what it is, and that the Democrats are lying about it in the Senate, and their other spokespersons. We played a montage earlier today. I mean, it's just I don't know. So many people seem to want it. Just they don't want the truth. They don't want fact. They don't want reality. They want what they want to believe. That's all they do. Scary.
Well, you summed it up very succinctly. And you know, Democrats are going to have a good day tomorrow. They're going to win the governorship in Virginia. the mayor of New York City, and probably New Jersey, although Jack Cittarelli has a chance. The wind is in his face. But these are two solid blue states and a solid blue city. Mm-hmm. What would you expect otherwise? So we'll see what happens there. But it's very, very disappointing, especially this polling, blaming the Republicans, some polls 2-1. And people just don't seem to get it.
I know. Well, the Republicans and the conservatives, more just as importantly, need to get out and vote. Thank you, Clive. Appreciate it so much.
Sure.
All right, my
sure,
friend.
Sure, Bob.
We'll take a break. Bob Cordaro, WILK. It is time for the news because my Bicardo Jewelers watch says it's 11:01 and change. We'll be back after Brian Hughes. We got our man Chet Parlavecchio. We're going to do a little football weekend wrap-up with Chet after we do the news.
WILK News Radio. This is the Bob Cordaro Show podcast.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.